Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and another day to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to continue our teaching on the new subject entitled The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Once again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we began a new teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we found out in the Word of God, is the third person of the Godhead. The third person of the Godhead. Now, the Godhead, when we speak of the Godhead, we are talking about the divine nature of God, his deity, and that deity is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, that deity is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna only say what the Word of God says. Many people use the term Trinity, but that's incorrect because Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. So we're going to only say what the Word of God says, so we can only stay correct in our teachings. Amen. Now, Let's look at this Godhead in Scripture before we continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Again, that's Acts chapter 17, and let's go to verse number 29. Acts 17, 29. And it says, "Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. God cannot be reduced to a deity made of gold, silver, or stone. He cannot be shaped by any artist into any form or idol. God cannot be confined to the material world." Amen. So we see here, God is not made of any gold or stone or silver or any other type of product. God is a spirit. You know, the children of Israel, when we read scripture, and I think it's Exodus 32, where we see that the children of Israel made a golden calf because Moses was going up on the mountain and talking with God, and he was gone for a period of time, and they got mad, wanted to know what happened to Moses. Where is he? And they went to Aaron, his brother, and said, "Let's make us a god out of gold." So they called everybody and let everybody bring their earrings, their necklaces, their nose rings and everything. And they melted it down and they made a gold calf worshiping that. And you know that wasn't God. And but you have to read the rest of 32, 33, and 34. And you will see how God reacted to their making of this golden calf. He was very upset because what he had done for them, and then now this is what they do to him. But God cannot be diminished to something that's made out of gold, stone, or silver. Amen. God is a spirit. Now go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. And it says this. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Now, we know that all things begin in the spirit realm because there are two realms that we live in. There's the spirit realm and there's the three-dimensional realm that we live in here. But everything starts off in the spirit realm and is manifested by our faith into this three-dimensional realm that we live in. So we know that all things begin, like I said, in the spirit realm, and those attributes are manifested into the natural realm. So we can see and understand God's eternal power and his Godhead by his invisible attributes. Amen. God is spirit, John 4, 24, and that makes his attributes invisible. We can see something of the effects of God's invisible attributes in creation. Amen. The beautiful landscape, the beautiful animals, and even us as humans. Since God is the creator, we can see those fingerprints of his works clearly. Amen. What we can see is the reality of his divine nature in general revelation. Now, that word clearly leaves no doubt about its reality. There is no deception or deceit here, but rather certainty of knowing. Creation cannot show us his love as such, but it can clearly show his power and order. Amen. We can understand some of God's attributes by creation, a source of knowledge, even though this knowledge is limited. Now, the two things we can understand about God are his eternal power and his Godhead. God is everlasting along with all his attributes. God is everlasting along with all his attributes. The Godhead is God's divine nature, which makes up what we are or what we call God. This includes his personality. Yes, God has a personality. God's divine nature is the total sum of all his attributes. There is a difference now between divinity and deity. Divinity is that which pertains to God, and deity is the state of being God. Let me repeat that. Divinity is that which pertains to God, and deity is the state of being God. We can know divinity by perceiving creation. Those who know special revelation, such as the Word of God, and we get the Word of God through the Bible, can know his deity. Divinity does not specifically or specify any attribute, but the sum of his invisible attributes. Let me repeat that. Divinity does not specify an attribute, but the sum of his invisible attributes. People can see God in creation so clearly that to ignore it is indefensible. It is indefensible. People have no defense for their unwillingness to believe. Now, my final scripture on the Godhead, please go to Colossians chapter 2. Again, that's Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. And it says this, "For in him, God, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead," or the bodily form, "in him." So the central truth of the universe is that God is superior. He is eternal, and he is an infinite being. He is God and God alone. Amen. The Holy Spirit is truly a person, a divine person. He is on the same plane, level, or plateau as God the Father and Jesus. And just like God the Father and Jesus, he has a distinct personality. Yet, all three of these individuals are God. They, T-H-E-Y, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are plural, but yet still God, singular. Amen. Now, last week, we had started teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we found out that there are three categories of these gifts. And the easiest way we found out to describe these gifts, or these nine gifts, is there are three of them that do something, three of them say something, and three of them do something. Let me repeat that. There are three categories of these gifts, of these nine gifts. Three of the gifts, they say something. Three of them, they do something. And three of them, they reveal something. Amen. So the three gifts that say something are the gifts of utterance. And they are prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Again, the three gifts that say something are the gifts of utterance. They are prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The three gifts that do something are called the power gifts. They are the gifts of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. In the original Greek, every time the third power gift is mentioned, both gifts and healings are in the plural form. Gifts of healings. I mention this because it is not always translated correctly in the King James Version. There is no such thing as the gift of healing. is not the gift of healing, is the gifts of healings. Again, those three gifts that do something are the power gifts, and they are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And the last category, the three gifts, are the ones that reveal something, and they are called the gifts of revelation. The gifts of revelation. And they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Again, it's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Amen. These gifts are listed in order of their importance. Of the three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom is the best of the three power gifts, or gifts of power. That gift of faith is the best gift. Of the three gifts of utterance, the gift of prophecy is the best gift. But remember, the best gift in any situation is the gift that is most needed at that time. Amen? So those are the three different categories, the nine gifts that we want, the first three that say something, the next three that do something, and the next three, they reveal something. And we're going to get into those gifts as we continue this teaching. But right now, please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verse number 1. And it says this: Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, let's just stop right there for a moment. The verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So we're talking about spiritual gifts, not ministry gifts, but spiritual gifts. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant. So if God does not want us to be ignorant, that must mean he wants us to be informed. He wants us to be knowledgeable of what these spiritual gifts are. There is a great weakness in the church of Christ because of the awful ignorance concerning the Spirit of God and the gifts he has given to the body of Christ. God wants us, his body, the church, we are his body, to be powerful in every area of our lives because of the revelation of the knowledge of his will concerning the power and manifestation of his Spirit. He desires us to continually to hunger for the things of Christ, to receive more and more of his Spirit. Amen. We must guard against spiritual error. We must guard against spiritual error. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, many evil, deceiving spirits have been sent forth in these last days who endeavor to rob Jesus of his lordship and of his rightful place. Now, we see in the Word that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because of his transgressions, we see that a third of the angels went with him. A third of the angels. Now, the scriptures don't tell us how many that third was. It could have been 2. It could have been 5. It could have been 5,000. It could have been 5 million. We don't know. But we know that a third of his angels went with him. See, because Satan cannot be at multiple places at the same time. He only can be at one place at the same time. So he needs some comrades to help him, to assist him in this deception in the world. Because if you look around in the world, there's different areas that have different satanic power in those particular cities. If you look at San Francisco, if you look at some of the countries of Africa, you can see the effects of Satan and what he's done there with the people. And it's not good whatsoever, not good at all. So we see it says many deceiving spirits have been sent forth in these last days. And we can see it here, even in America. People are opening the doors of these for these devils, such as the new theology and the new thought and Christian Science. These cults, and that's what they are, they're nothing but cults, deny the fundamental truths of God's word. They deny the eternal punishment and the deity of Jesus Christ. And if you speak with someone who believes this, you will know that he or she is not definite on the matter of the new birth. They're not sure of the new birth. Amen. You will never see the baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon a man who accepts these errors or who puts Mary in the place of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You will never find a Jehovah Witness baptized in the Holy Spirit. The same is true for a member of any other cult who does not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent. Amen. You just won't find that. The all-important thing is to make Jesus Lord of your life. Also, we need to be filled with the Spirit to get the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus told us, he says, I am a spirit, and those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. See, spirits talk to spirits. We are spirits. That's why we're able to communicate with the Holy Spirit, because we are spirits. And when we fill with the spirits, we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, to abide in us, to teach us, to guide us, to instruct us. Amen. The all-important thing is to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Also, we need to be filled with the Spirit to get the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord does not want us, the church, his body, to come up short in any way. He wants us to have it all. He wants us to be mature in the things of Christ. Amen. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that it will be the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through his gifts. Amen. Now, not only that we must guard against error, but we must understand the gifts. We must understand the gifts. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, when the Holy Spirit says that, he expects us to understand what the gifts are. And he wants us to understand that the church may be able to profit from these gifts. Let me repeat that. When the Holy Spirit says that he does not want us to be ignorant, he expects us as the body of Christ to understand what the gifts are. And he wants us to understand that the church may be able to profit by them. Let's examine the nature of those who are led by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 3, and it says this, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So when you come in contact with people who have acknowledged the Lord Jesus, you can tell whether they know anything about the Spirit of God by what they say and how they speak. For every spirit that is of God testifies of Jesus. And you will always be able to tell God's spiritual condition by what they say. Amen. You can always tell that by what they say. If they do not confess that Jesus was manifested in the flesh, you may know that they do not have the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, if we review the three categories of the Spirit's gifts, we will find out that they're going to give us some teaching, and it is profitable for all, profitable for the church. Amen. For us here on earth to use these gifts, because these gifts are some special gifts. Well, you know what? The clock on the wall is telling me that I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But until then, please, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you. Have a blessed week. We see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.